Hello, everyone. Daniel Gregory here. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm currently working on printing some images for a portfolio review that I have coming up pretty soon, and I had a problem that arose during the printing of some of the platinum images that I've never seen before. Basically, as I was letting the prints dry, the platinum coating surface was actually kind of bleeding out into the surface area of the paper, destroying all the hard work and the actual print. I really had never seen that before in the thousands of platinum prints I've done. So I kind of went back through all my old notes, looked at a bunch of books, checked online, didn't find any real, consistent resources. Eventually, I called down to Bostick and Sullivan, where I buy all my supplies from, to talk to Dana Sullivan to see if he had any ideas. And he kind of pointed me in a direction around maybe how the surface of the paper had been sized a little different for the printing process, and it was maybe a little harder than usual. And so he gave me some suggestions on how to do that, which ultimately actually did help in getting the prints to print correctly. But it got me to think about really what a lot of photography is problem solving. A lot of puzzles that were presented, and we actually have to put those pieces together in a meaningful way. While I got lucky this time, I think sometimes we have problems that we actually ultimately can't resolve, or we don't give ourselves the time to resolve, we get frustrated and we move on, and we actually never really learn what we need to learn from the process, whether that be learning how to shoot flash, manual mode on our camera, maybe a certain processing technique. There ultimately comes a time when we really get frustrated and move on, and I think that's really a detriment for us. In the problem solving, I think there's about three kind of areas where we really kind of get focused and stuck on. One is technical. I think a lot of the things, as advanced as the computers have gotten and as advanced as the cameras have gotten, it is still not as easy as we would like for it to be potentially in our own mind when we get started learning something new. So take, for example, using multiple camera flashes or off-camera flash in general. You look at pictures of people who do it and do it very well, and it seems like, wow, you set these lights up and then it's pretty easy. But you actually get in to actually do the work and you realize that matching volumes of light and the amount of work it actually takes to get the light set up properly, to get the type of lighting you like, requires a lot of effort, and it also requires a lot of trial and error. Even if you watch a professional photographer who's very skilled in the art of off-camera flash, it is trial and error for them too. They're consistently solving problems, whether it be the volume of light coming out of a flash, adjusting camera settings, moving the light. There's all sorts of different aspects they have to go through to actually solve a problem. I think another area that really gets kind of confusing for people is in the amount of technical information they get when they're trying to process images. There's so much complexity to what can actually be done to an image, and there's so many different ways to do it that I think people sit down kind of in the hopes of, show me the one way to sharpen an image or show me the one way to color correct an image, and they start seeing all these different ways. And the reason for that is sometimes a different problem or a different puzzle requires a different solution. So these number of different ways are there because not every image is the same and not every problem is the same, but yet our brain kind of wants to wrap around a one-click simple fix for that. And I think if we really embrace the complexity of that, we actually can learn some really kind of cool things and find ways to use the tools that we hadn't originally intended or expected. I think a couple of other areas kind of lump into the non-technical issues, which we like logistic problems, like how do I actually get somewhere at the right time of day to shoot? How do I get an assistant if I need it? Some of these things that if you're not an actual working professional photographer, you don't know necessarily what to do with an assistant or where to get an assistant. And it turns out your beer drinking buddies really aren't the greatest people in the world to go out and actually have for assistance. I think there's also technical issues and puzzles around gear where you get a camera, you don't take the time to actually learn the camera. So what all the buttons do, then you get it out in the field and you actually do need to have different ISO settings, or you need to change the shooting frame rate, or you need to separate the exposure compensation from the flash to the camera body. And you can't find those and you don't have a manual. And so you actually haven't taken the time to really figure those things out. And I think that's one of the most important things you can do, is to really learn what everything your camera gear does and what everything it is about your camera or your flashes or your strobes or your drone. If you're flying a drone, you don't want to crash it in a lake. You better know everything that's possible with that. So it becomes a problem to solve. But once you get those problems solved, they become a great value-added resource for you. Finally, I think the last kind of big area is problem solving and puzzle solving within the image. There are a number of different ways to look at photographs and to try to understand photographs, but ultimately I think it comes down to, we really look at mostly what doesn't work in images when we talk about. When we're getting work critiqued and analyzed, we're like, well, this photograph doesn't work because of XYZ. There's also the other side of that, is what does work in the image. That's part of the puzzle piece put together. You start with the border and then you work your way to the middle. The reason for that is there are things that actually do work in every photograph. They may not be a huge amount, and may not pull together completely, but they do work. So there is information there that we need to talk about on what makes that image better? Ultimately, I think there's a narrative that sits within every photograph. And I think one of the challenges we have as viewers of photographs and as consumers of photographs is for us to start to really understand what that narrative is. What is the story that's being told? And then to figure out if that truly is a good narrative and a good story. I think it also helps because we're then able to talk to the photographer and hopefully understand what story were they attempting to tell. And if those stories actually become compelling to us and compelling to the photographer, I think we have images that pull together significantly stronger. I think there's also a reward that we get when we stick to the actual work inside the image. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort to do a really good analysis of a photograph. You have to spend time inside the photograph. You have to really put aside your own biases and really start to figure out what is impactful and meaningful in that work. And in doing so, I think the reward is a deeper understanding of not just that photograph, but then your own photographs or somebody else's photographs, if you're looking at your own, that allows you to be a much stronger steward to the craft of photography and the art of photography at the same time. You're able to go back to somebody and say, wow, I think these photographs matter and I think these photographs work because I now understand something on a deeper level. I now understand more than I did when I came into the room. And ultimately, those stories we're attempting to tell is to increase the universal nature of who we are and how we're connected as people. So to have that opportunity for a photograph to come forward and be really strong and figure out what is it about the photograph that mattered, what is it about the photograph that told the compelling story, I think is a great thing for us to do as photographers for each other. So that's a couple things from a really random, terrible experience in the dark room. Just so everybody knows, I did get my photographs successfully printed for the critique that's coming up, and I'm really looking forward to that. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. If you're interested, you can subscribe on iTunes and find us there. You can also find us at www.theperceptivephotographer.com and get your episodes there. I hope to see you again pretty soon, and enjoy your week. Thanks very much.